Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Yasher koach. Mazel tov. I'm concluding Seder Zrayim this morning. It is, we often think about, well, Zrayim, how really applicable it is. The truth is, it is. It is applicable. B'zman hazeh, Baruch Hashem. Even not just in Eretz Yisrael, where Trumos and Maisros and Peah, these things are, and Shvius, certainly as we are finishing, this is sort of like really the beginning of the end of Shemitah, takes place on Tu B'Shvat of this year. So those have become more applicable and relevant. Probably, if I would look at the list of the questions I got in the Kashrus department over the last year, probably Shemitah questions probably led the way of all of them. If we take the list, but it's not just things having to do with Eretz Yisrael, because we're able to import things from Eretz Yisrael. Also, there are, three Masechtas in Zrayim that are completely applicable in Chutz La'aretz. Does anybody catch what those are? So Masechtas Brachos, that we'll pass that. That obviously applies in Chutz La'aretz. What other two Masechtas are really applicable completely in Chutz La'aretz? Yeah? Not really, not required to set aside a spot in Chutz La'aretz, but what? Kalayim halfway. Actually, Kalayim wasn't on my list. Some of Kalayim is and some isn't. If those are learning Masechtas Kalayim, which parts are and which parts aren't? Anybody know? Are you allowed to plant a garden in your backyard that has cucumbers and carrots right next to each other? Is that a problem?
Yes.
Yes, in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, both or neither?
Neither.
Neither. Wrong. Where might it be a problem? In Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, that's not. There are other aspects that are grafting trees. That's actually a problem in Chutz La'aretz, just like it is in Eretz Yisrael. Learning the vineyard part, the Kali HaKerem, that actually is also, that's the Rabbanon Chutz La'aretz, so that applies here. So Kalayim is applicable. Any other Masechtos that we have to worry, that from Zerayim, that are Chutz La'aretz Masechtos? Yes. Orla, yes, Orla is very good. Orla is an issue in Chutz La'aretz. Very good. And the other ones, yeah. What? Challah, right. Challah is applicable. Right, they're abundant, yes, but challah also is applicable in Chutz La'aretz. Was that the other one I was thinking of? I forgot. Yeah, you want to make another suggestion? Shabbos is already in Seder Moed. We're trying to keep the Zrayim what we focused on this morning. Yes. Demai. So Demai is when things come from Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to be applicable here. When often people get nervous. If you go to any store now, or a supermarket, they are required to tell you what the origin is of the fruit that is coming in. And Baruch Hashem, often there is produce coming from Eretz Yisrael, and often people will look at it and say, oh, I don't want to deal with like that, whatever. I'm just going to put that down, and I'll call Rabbi Gross. We'll send out a kashrus alert. Be aware that there's trumos and maaseros. There's fruit from Eretz Yisrael that's chayav in trumos and maaseros. Just stay away. So we try to say you don't have to stay away. You don't have to be like so afraid. There are ways of dealing with shemitah is a different issue, but trumos and maaseros, certainly there are ways of dealing with it. There are on the Keystone K website. Rabbi Eisenman's clear instructions are there, and you have the opportunity, Baruch Hashem, to fulfill these mitzvos. Afilu, even bizman hazeh. I want to take a look, just one question on yesterday's parsha that will lead to a further discussion about this. Yesterday's parsha, so it deals with the issue of many nisim and many miracles that took place early on in the parsha, not so early on, but the story with Kriyas Yamsuf. So how did Kriyas Yamsuf happen? So the Chumash gives us a description that didn't just all of a sudden happen that it split, but rather there was a wind that was going throughout the night, and that's ultimately what caused the sea to be able to split Bnei Yisrael. So what was the purpose of that? Why didn't Hashem just snap his fingers and allow Bnei Yisrael to cross right away? Anybody ever think about that? Why didn't it just happen right away? We'll just go right in, and everything will split. Why did it need to have this like background and this ridge that formed and the wind to be blowing throughout the night? Yeah? It wouldn't be a challenge, but so there's a miracle. I mean, not so easy for Bnei Yisrael. You mean or for Hashem? Which one? Wasn't so easy for who? For Bnei Yisrael to go because they were nervous, right? Okay, but why was there the wind going? The Torah describes wind going throughout the night before. So that the kids will ask, good, and that Rabbi Gross will be able to ask. Thank you. I appreciate that. And Hashem tries to do miracles, yes?
You see a lot of, sometimes it's not really only nature, this happens. Like a lot of times, like the
Noah, who was building the Sefirah, Hashem didn't make it disappear. He made him, like, do it for a long
right.
time.
Ah.
So, why did you did that so, like, everybody can know that Hashem,
so there'll be the opportunity to do tshuva, you mean? That?
No. Like, they see, oh, boom, we're
The way I understand, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, but that Hashem, when he does miracles, he often does it in as natural way as possible. There aren't too many, most miracles are done, while it's clearly there is a Yad Hashem and things don't just happen right away like that, but it's done sort of in a natural way. So then we move a little bit forward in the Parsha, and what happens? The man comes down from Shemayim. So the Chida quotes from his grandfather, who asked the following question. Man falling from the heavens, that's a pretty impressive miracle. That's like, almost, that's Yesh Miayin. I don't know what was going on in those bakeries up there. But, right, that all of a sudden, man just comes down. Why couldn't it be that B'nai Yisrael gets to a place, they plant things in the ground, and, okay, so it takes a couple of months for something to grow usually. So this will grow very quickly. I mean, wouldn't that have been a more natural miracle if B'nai Yisrael would have just been able to plant things when they got to a certain place? Why do they need man to be falling from Shemayim? Yeah, you want to suggest something? Okay, meaning sometimes there needs to be an aspect that no, this is clearly from Hashem, and we're not going to take any role in it. Okay, maybe let's hold off on that question. We'll just push it off until a little later. I see the hands, but let's just hold off a little bit on trying to resolve that issue. There is a halacha. Is a little bit controversial in the realm of brachos, but whenever you discuss hilchos brachos issues, like becomes a big issue. But I'm not suggesting this is what we should do; just a shita that is thrown out there. What is the bracha on apples? Ha'etz, good. What is the bracha on apple sauce? What? It depends. So what does it depend on? Who wants to suggest what it depends on? What? Tavia, did you hear this yesterday? What? How processed it is, right? If it is totally processed, that it just is like the ones that you squeeze out. So that would be what? That would be shahakel, right? That would be if it's squeezable, right? The squeezable things, right? So that we will consume is going to be shahakel. If it is more cut up and you see bitsy pieces of apple in it, so then what it would be? Ha'etz. Okay. Would it make sense to make hadama on applesauce? No, nobody says so. So there is an opinion of Salvechik had the opinion that no, you make a dumb on applesauce. Why is that? Why in the world would you make a dumb on applesauce? So some suggest because you sort of knock down a level in brachos. He says nope, that's not the reason. The reason is because why is it that if you make why would you make a shahakel on applesauce? Because in order to make a bracha bari pri eitz, it doesn't just mean the fruit has to come from the tree, but also what the fruit has to have a. Has to look like a fruit. It has to be what's called a tsuras hapri. It has to look like a fruit. If it no longer looks like a fruit, because it's mushed up and it's in a bottle, and you don't see pieces of apple, so then you no longer make ha'etz on it. So suggests or Salavechik, if he says and he reads it based on a rush, he says that's only true when it comes to fruit. It is not true when it comes to vegetables. That's what he suggests. Not everybody agrees to that either. But he said that halacha at Shulchan Aruch is only mentioned in Hilchos Peiros, not in Hilchos Adama. He says, not true. When it comes to a fruit needs to have a tzura sapri. If it no longer has a tzura sapri, if it no longer looks like a fruit, we're now going to make a bracha of, not shahakli, he says, Adama. Right? Because Adama does not have that requirement. It doesn't have the same requirement that fruits do. Again, not everybody agrees to that. I'm sure people would argue back, but that was the opinion of Rav Salvechik. Makes it into the OU documents, if you're wondering, about what bracha you make on these types of things. That's the machlokas that is out there. But what's the difference? Why should that be? Why should fruits require a tsura, require an image, while perhaps vegetables do not necessarily have that same requirement? Let's hold off for one more thing. We have a... I think we're supposed to, like, if in order to graduate, you need to know Alam Michya by heart, right? I'll pay us by heart, right? That's one on the list, right? So we got to know it by heart. So help me out as we get towards the end. So Alam Michya or Al HaPeros, right? That that tefillah, that bracha, so that is it's called Me'ein Shalosh because it is abbreviated benching, right? It takes the brachos of benching and it makes them shorter. Except for when it doesn't make it shorter, sometimes it seems to make it longer. But if we get towards the end, what's the last bracha we make in benching of the first three brachos? Uvenei Yerushalayim, Erech Kodesh, Meher V'Yameinu. Right, that and the bracha ends at that point. Ruach Hashem bonei, bracha mav Yerushalayim amen. So what happens when we get in Alamichya? So the bracha goes uvenei Yerushalayim irak kodesh mihira v'yameinu. So does it end there? So it doesn't just end there. What does it continue on? Bahaleinu l'silcha, v'samchenu v'inyanos. What does that mean? That's not on the test. Bahaleinu l'silcha, I'm going to be brought up there. V'simchenu b'vinyana, and I'll rejoice in its building, meaning reference to Yerushalayim. V'nochal mirpirya, v'nispoa mituva, and I'm going to eat from the peros. V'nispoa mituva, and I'm going to be satiated from its goodness. I'm going to be full because of the, it sounds like from the fruit or from the things that grow in Eretz Yisrael. Unvarechecha aleha b'kdusha v'tara, and I'm going to give brachos on it b'kdusha v'tara. In sanctity and holiness and purity, and everything's going to be good, right? So benching normally just ends with v'nei Yerushalayim v'kodesh mehera v'yameinu. You should build Yerushalayim. Here we add in the tefillah of, and I'll be able to go to Eretz Yisrael, and what? V'nochal mepirya v'nispoa mituva. And I'm going to be able to eat the fruit, the peros of Eretz Yisrael. So on the page of the Torah, Beis Yosef, Rabbeinu Yonah actually says, strike out those lines. Those lines do not belong there. Take out the lines. We should not be hoping to go in order to eat food. Why not? Right? Do we like that line or not like that line? Rabbeinu Yonah, no relation, just so we know. That I know of. Right? Do we like the line? That I'm going to eat the fruit and I'm going to be surveya and enjoy and be satiated from the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. Why is that a good line or a bad line? Is that a good tefillah or perhaps not such a wonderful tefillah? Any idea? Like, why would that be? Why would we want it or not? Yes, Mr. Starkman, yes. What? It sounds like you're going to Eretz Yisrael for fruit. Yeah, right. That was Rabbeinu Yonah's complaint. In fact, he's not just making that out of nowhere. He's not just being a tzaddik and saying, no, we should only want Kedusha. It's actually a gemara. The Gemara itself asks that question in Maseches Sota. It discusses Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu begs Hashem, and he says, Hashem, I really want... When you get to Parshas Vayeschanan, and Moshe is asking again and again and again, I want to get into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara then says, why did Moshe want to get into Eretz Yisrael so badly? What did he want from being able to go in there? And the Gemara actually asks that question, uses these words, the terminology may be familiar. He says, the Gemara says, v'nuchal mipiryahu tzarech? Do you think he just wanted to eat the fruit? Nirispoa mituvahu tzarech? Do you think he wanted to be soveya? You think he just wanted to have a good meal? Like, you think he wanted to get a good shawarma or a good falafel? We have good falafel in Philadelphia too. But you think he wanted to get Eretz Yisrael falafel? That's why he wanted to go? So the Gemara responds by saying, no, that's not why Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want to go? Because he wanted to be Yotzei Yol the Mitzvos. He wanted to take Lev Truma, he wanted to do Meiser, he wanted to do all of those Mitzvos that he was not yet able to do. He wanted to be able to go ahead and do that. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah says, that line in Al HaMichya, take it out. He said, it's not appropriate that I want B'nai Yisrael, I want Eretz Yisrael to be built, and I want to be able to go in order to eat the fruit there. So Rabbeinu Yonah, not appropriate. That's not why we should want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So did we listen to Rabbeinu Yonah? No, right? It's still there, right? It's still on the test. You still got to know it in order to graduate. Right? You still got to be able to list that one and say it every time you eat this. So what's the explanation? So on the two sides of the Torah, there's two answers that are given. Beis Yosef says, no. It's not. He's not asking to eat the fruit. He's asking for the next line. It's not that he just wanted to eat the fruit. He wanted to make the brachos on the fruit. We've been going around the whole midbar. All I've been eating is man. What bracha did they make on man? Gemara has a different discussion about that. What? Okay, all right, very good. The Gemara has a question about what that is. That's one of the suggestions that are given. Right? So that's a discussion. So Moshe's like, I've been making that bracha all along. I want to make a bracha of Bori Pir Eitz. Right? It's been a while since I made a bracha of Bori Pir Eitz. I want to make that bracha. That's what the Beis Yosef suggests. The Bach on the other side of the page of the Beis Yosef, he says, no. He says, he says it is appropriate for you to want to go to Eretz Yisrael, v'nochal mipirya, and be able to eat from its fruit. Why, says the Bach? Because the simple act of eating from the fruit, that itself is what raises one to Kedusha and Tara. That the fruit itself is an ability to be able to grow and to be able to do mitzvos. That itself, just the eating of it, because there are so many mitzvos involved in the preparation of the fruit, and trumus and maisros and demai and the sveikos, and making sure that things are separated, make sure that it's dealt with during Shemitah year appropriately. There's so many mitzvos involved. That itself is what raises one to have kedusha v'tara, in order to be able to have sanctity and be able to have tara. And that when we're dealing with that, right? So what is the tzuras hapri? The tzuras hapri is the recognition of all of the mitzvos that were involved in the background. I remember early on when I took on the kashrus job. That's the early days of the pandemic when all the CBS boxes were going out. And I remember we had to send out an alert because we realized that something came from Eretz Yisrael. So I got an angry call from somebody. He says, "How are people going to know how to take off trumas and maisa?" So, we sent out directions and people will hopefully they'll figure it out. He says, "Yeah, and what about Orla?" I don't know. I said, "I don't know. I got to look it up." Turns out that it's not really an issue that they take care of the Orla situation in Eretz Yisrael. Most of there's a whole calendar of different fruit, how it matches up with regards to making sure that Orla is not an issue. And those fruits in particular, they happen to not be an issue. There's so many mitzvahs that we need to keep track of that we don't think of Azrayim. Those are things that's the non-Lemaisa Masechtos. No, they're very Lemaisa. They're very practical. And Baruch Hashem, they're becoming more and more practical. So now we just go back to our question here. Why is it that why did the mun fall from Shemayim rather than the mun coming up from the ground? So in the Hagioni Halacha, I forgot if he quotes somebody. He suggests. You want to give an answer to that question now? Okay.
Ah,
oh, okay. Well, Hashem could make fruit that tastes like anything. Or he could give everybody COVID and it will taste like nothing. Like, all right, whatever. Not recommended. Still a couple of years, still a couple of years with it. Yes?
I think maybe because, they were just coming out of Mitzrayim and they had, no connection, or almost no connection to Hashem, because they were, the lowest migration.
Yeah, so sometimes you need an oomph. This was like a real miraculous thing. I mean, it's a big deal that you split the sea. If there's going to be fruit that falls from Shemayim, then I'm impressed.
I'd like to keep it up, but they might have thought that was a one and done.
I mean, this would be a continuous miracle thing that we're not going to be able to replicate. Okay, good. Yoni Alacha suggests, he says, when it comes to the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, so what does one gain? What does one gain from that? So that itself has all of that sanctity because of all of the mitzvos that are involved in it. If there were going to be fruit that were going to grow in the desert, that would not be Perus of Eretz Yisrael, that would be Perus of Chutz La'aretz. And therefore it would be lacking that Kedusha, it would be lacking that sanctity. Hashem needed a way to imbue B'nai Yisrael with sanctity at that time. And therefore he said, if it's going to come from the ground, it's going to be lacking that. We need to have it fall from Shemayim, and therefore it's going to be, therefore they're going to be able to imbibe, they'll be able to gain from that which is coming down directly from me, as opposed to what is growing from the ground. So, right, this fruit, there is an idea that if you take ground from Eretz Yisrael and you just plop it in your backyard, right, and now you grow things from that ground, would you be chayv and trumus u'maisros there? So the answer is no. I know we have an idea of taking the dirt and burying it to people when they pass away. And niftar, yes, that's appropriate minug. But technically, the ground loses its kedusha of Eretz Yisrael as soon as it no longer is the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Fruit, however, maintains that kedusha as long as it continues to be from Israel, which it's going to be, right? And it's brought to Chutz La'aretz. So that itself has a high degree of sanctity. And we take it for granted, right? We take it, we look and see it, and we say, maybe I'll get something else. That way I don't have to worry about the trumas and maisos. No. Embrace it, and we should be fortunate. And how fortunate we are that we live in an era when these things exist. Rav Moshe Weinberger tells a story that he heard from his father. His father lived was in Europe, in Ungvar, in Hungary. And he remembers, his father remembered as a kid that two wealthy wealthy balabatim from the community that they merited to make the trip to Eretz Yisrael. That they went and they came back. It was not normal to meet somebody. If you lived in Europe, in Eastern Europe, it didn't happen that you met people. Salvechik also has stories. Someone showed up in town that from Israel and was like, how could it, like, so you actually saw the land? You were actually there? And we take it for granted today. So somebody showed up in Ungvar, and as they came back, they walked in, they came in holding peros, they came in holding fruit, two fruit that they brought back from Eretz Yisrael. And instead of going home and relaxing and dumping their stuff, they walked straight to the Beis Medrash where the Rebbe was there. And as they're walking, people realize what's going on. These people just came back from Eretz Yisrael and they're holding fruit from Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden this parade formed behind them. This is not like some foreign thing. This was, Eid Mepiaid. One heard from the person whose father was there. And they all followed to the Beis Medrash and they presented these fruit to the Rebbe. He says, these are peirus from Eretz Yisrael. These are fruit from Eretz Yisrael. And they brought a knife to the Rebbe and he cut it up into tiny, 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 tiny pieces so that each person in the community would be able to have one bite, at least one tiny nugget, not even enough to make a alapero saha on it, even afterwards. But just a tiny amount that they would be able to have in order to embrace, in order to enjoy the kedusha that comes from Eretz Yisrael. So that perhaps, we get to Tu B'Shvat. There's themes that have come up, has to do with the changing of the year. There's a technical reason for Tu B'Shvat that divides the Meiser of one year and the other year, the Shemitah of one year and another year. But it also has become to just appreciate this idea. Appreciate the idea that we can get Peros from Eretz Yisrael, appreciate Peros from Eretz Yisrael, and appreciate Peros in general, and recognize the source of where it comes from. And recognize all the mitzvos that can be involved in all the ways that we're able to gain. And Ashreinu, how fortunate we are to live in an era where we can gain this type of appreciation of and have access to the peros of Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael Koach, good Shana Tova, and
to wrap it up, stay seated for a moment. We're going to do a quick siyum on.